Chapter 23. The thugs, when they came that night, were very good. Not professional grade, but very good for amateurs. I had napped during the time between Alice's rescue and when everyone else went to bed, besides getting my leg wound treated, and I was, if not 100%, at least in the upper 80s. Two people were lowered from the roof. At the same time, someone opened the door to the suite of rooms. While I couldn't see the front door from my vantage point in the coat closet, I could easily see the man and woman on the back porch through the sliding glass door. Neither had night vision gear on, but the moon was full and bright, and it gave the scene enough light for them to see. Not enough to see me through the missing two slats of the closet door, but more than enough to see into the room. They checked the door, it was locked, then waited with their pistols drawn. Two men came into view from the hallway by the front door. I suspected there would be at least one more there, maybe two, as lookouts. It's what I would have done anyway. The two from the front door both had night vision goggles on, and one stood at the entranceway to the main room, while the other crossed to the sliding glass door onto the balcony. That was my cue, and I aimed, closed my eyes, and fired at the man on overwatch. I opened them to find him slumping, while the man at the glass door spun around. The two people on the porch were pointing in my general direction, but the other thug with the NVGs on had his back to them and couldn't see what they were doing. They couldn't shoot at me as he was between us. As the man's eyes searched the condo, I took care of that problem by shooting him while he was looking at the other side of the room. He slumped, giving the two on the porch a line of fire into my position, but I was already in motion as they began firing, and I heard the sounds of glass shattering and rounds hit the walls behind me as I dove through the hole I'd made in the closet wall leading to the second bedroom. I crawled to the door and raised my pistol as one of the men walked into the main room. He quickly scanned it once, then moved toward the closet door as his partner walked in from the porch. She stopped to look around, and had a split second to see me and draw in a breath to warn her partner before I shot her in the chest. She fell, and I was up and back to the hole in the wall in the closet as the man spun, trying to find out what had killed her. I shot him from about 2 feet away, close enough to see his blood and brains spray out, even in the dark. "What's going on?" a voice said from the hallway. "Did you get him?" I didn't say anything. "Steve," the voice asked. "Richard? Jackson? Are they dead?" He paused. "Joan! They're all right here," I replied in a stage whisper. "Why don't you come in and get them?" I could hear what sounded like a body hitting the floor. "Is it safe to come in?" a man's voice asked from the door. "Depends on who you are," I replied, moving quickly to the bedroom door in case the person was trying to figure out where I was. "I mean you no harm," the voice said. "I met you earlier at the bridge. My name is Williams. I'd like to talk with you. The person who was standing lookout is no longer a threat." "Come on in," I replied. "Although keeping your hands up and empty of weapons is the best way to ensure you keep breathing." "I will do as you ask," Williams said. "I'm unarmed." He came into the room with his hands up, and I came out of the room covering him with my pistol. "I assure you, I am unarmed," he said. "May I turn on the light?" "Go ahead," I said. He flipped on the overhead light and smiled as he saw me. "Thank you," he said.
"For what?"
"You just won me a gallon of fuel," he replied. "My partner," he nodded toward the door, "bet me that they'd take you out. I bet on you."
"What?"
I asked, the pistol never moving from his chest.
"You knew all these assholes would attack us, and you just let them?"
Williams shrugged.
"One of two things was going to happen. Either you would kill them off, as you have, showing that your Mr. Boudreau is fit to rule, or they would have killed you off, proving he wasn't."
He shrugged again.
"The fact is, if you couldn't take care of these assholes, you and he, probably weren't fit to deal with the other problems this island and this world have right now.
He smiled, and it looked a lot like mine, the look of a predator.
Besides, he continued, I bet on you. I thought you could do it. If you want to be mad at someone, be mad at Brown. He's the one who bet against you.
You did, huh? Bet on me?
I did. When I saw you at the bridge, I had a good idea. You were an agent.
Well, that's great and all, except for one thing. I'm not an agent.
Williams waved a hand at the devastation throughout the room.
The evidence would suggest otherwise.
He paused, then added,
Maybe not an agent then, but at least you have corporate training.
The fact of the matter is, I don't know who I am. I woke up in a back room in New Orleans right after the war, with no memory of who I am. None.
Interesting, the man said. Hey, Brown, he called. Get in here, slowly.
The other man from the bridge came in. If he was armed, he at least had the courtesy to put his weapons away. I holstered my pistol and took off the goggles, which were hurting my head.
Hi, Brown said. I'd say it was good to see you again, but you cost me a gallon of gas.
I heard, I replied, although I have to say I'm happy to disappoint you.
What's up?
Brown asked his partner.
Fred here woke up in a New Orleans back room right after the war, with no memory of who he was.
Brown turned and studied me.
Really?
He asked.
That's interesting. No memory at all. Not even a childhood memory of a time or a place.
None, I said, shaking my head. It's a clean slate.
Interesting,
Brown said.
That's what your partner said,
I noted, starting to get a little annoyed with their secrecy.
What's interesting?
George asked, coming out of the other room where he'd been barricaded in. He shut the door, probably hoping the kids couldn't listen in.
Your friend's history,
Williams replied.
How long have you known him?
A couple of months, since right after the war.
So nothing before his memory loss.
George shook his head.
Why? What have you noticed about him?
Brown asked.
You mean like being handy with a gun or a knife? That's a start. What about leadership? Does he like to be in charge, or would he want to be someone a little more outside the normal chain of command?
George chuckled. I told him that he should be the one in charge here, and he didn't want any part of it. Said he wanted to go find out who he was. Brown and Williams looked at each other, and a wry grin passed between them.
What's so funny?
I asked, my annoyance level building quickly. If I didn't start getting some answers soon, I was going to shoot someone. Probably Brown. He seemed the slower of the two.
He could no more be the leader of this endeavor than we could. His training, even if his brain doesn't remember it, his body does, is in killing people and solving problems. He's an agent, just like us. And organizational leadership just isn't his thing.
It's funny, the people you meet in this fallen world.